Okay. So anyway, I was up there in Sandstone, Minnesota, and Indians were in that federal prison for little petty things. Petty things. So this Indian's name was Left Hand. And he got to be kind of friends. We talked a lot together. So he said, Elijah Muhammad, it's your father. Are you different? I said, yes, he is. He said, you know what? I'm going to tell you a little story. He said there was a preacher, priest, I think he's priest. He said he would always start off his sermon telling us about heaven. See, and he had a picture of angels, big picture of angels going up into heaven. He says, so one of the bucks asked him, says, how come no Indians are going up into heaven? And he had difficulty asking the question, and they were impatient. So he said they immediately grabbed him and threw him out on the dirt, on the dirt. So that tell you that was a kind of poor situ, poor area. Not many people populating that area. Because he threw it, he said they threw him out on the dirt. Here he would get hurt. They threw him out on some concrete. Yeah, but I thought that funny. But what the point of me saying that is that you can't judge people, say, oh, he's not educated. So we don't need to explain difficult matters to them. Just give them something to make them happy. That seems to be the position in religion for many churches and many mosques, many imams. Yes. Or they can't handle difficult matters, so just give them something to keep them happy. And they have gotten out of touch with their own following. Their following is more advanced when it comes to intelligent feelings. Feelings for what is sense and what is not nonsense. They have become more intelligent than their leaders. And they're wondering how come their youngsters are leaving them. How come their children are leaving them. It's because you're not making sense. And you've underestimated the intelligence of our public. In the United States, we have a much more literate public than you will find in most places of the world. And we have to upgrade our message. Yes, we have to upgrade our message and speak more sense to the congregation and stop depending so heavily on emotionalism. That time is here. And you'll see signs not only from me, but you'll see signs are in me, but you'll see signs in the world leadership for world religions. You see signs in the world leadership now that a change must come about. There must be a change. Yes, so the tree of death is this world culture that it has for the public, that the late Pope John Paul II called the culture of death. That's exactly the way he referred to it, the culture of death. He gave it other names, but it's death. It's death. So going back to original nature, or to the beginning of human life, how we began in innocence, like a baby. This is what Scripture shows us. The Bible says that God made Adam from clay, didn't it? And the Quran says, and he, meaning God, began the creation of man from clay. That's what the Quran says, from clay. Now, you know, I think more than 60 or 70% of our public are ready for us to tell them what clay means. So why should we keep our public ignorant when most of our public are not feeling comfortable with the idea that man was made from clay? So scripture say also that the likeness of the creation and growth and life of human beings is that of plants, like trees and other plant life. Now you know, if you have nothing but clay, tell me what kind of crop you're gonna grow out of clay. So we need when these questions start to come in the minds of our people, we are in trouble if we continue to use the same old language with no teaching. Both the Bible and the Quran stresses teaching over preaching. Huh? Teaching is more important than preaching. This is no new term to identify human life. Long before religion had the term, it was in the world among people. In Arabic language, which is one of the most ancient of languages we still have in use, Arabic. In Arabic language, when they want to say clay, they say teen, but they also say tuffin. Mm-hmm. When they want to say baby, they say tiffin, or the same, tiffin. Very closely related. Tiffin, tuffin. Same letters. The letter T in Arabic, the letter F in Arabic, and the letter L in Arabic. So what does that tell you? That baby and clay have the same meaning. Now, if in their language, baby and clay has the same meaning, essentially the same meaning. So what is clay about a baby? A baby is impressionable. A baby, if you show it love, it's impressed upon the mind and soul of that baby. That baby will take that imprint of love and begin to act out love, huh? Begin to want to love. Begin to want to express love. And also, the baby is ready for you to mold it in any shape you want. If God doesn't protect the baby, you can mold the baby into an inhuman shape or form. Huh? Yes. So the baby is like clay also in that it is manageable. Huh? It responds to pressure and to touch. Fresh clay, you just touch it, and there's an imprint. Yes. Like a baby. So instead of us stopping just with God made man from clay, or began the creation of human being from clay, we should think. And that's what religion wants us to do too. Think. Yes, but some of our preachers and our imams, they don't want you to think. And I love them, and I think they really are acting from a feeling or sense of insecurity. They're afraid if you know too much, they'll be put out of a job. Well, I wouldn't want a job if I had to stoop down like that to keep it. No, I wouldn't want it. I'd rather be a welder again. I used to be a welder. I love welding. Yeah, and heating up metal, making metal run like soup, and shaping it into form. Oh, it was very interesting. I loved my work. And finishing your work and seeing that you made hard steel run like water, and then made it look pretty. Yes, I loved my work. Now I'm working with people. And I can't look at a blueprint and start getting the pieces for the job, you know, and putting my, well, and now I'm getting ready to put heat on these metals. So I need some grippers. I know the name very well. Vice grippers. Hey, somebody know a little something about that carpentry, that metal and work. Yeah, vice grips. I look for the vice grips, you know. Line it up, get it all lined up, with the jig, get it all fastened in, and rice grips holding it, whatever else I need as a tool to hold it, got it in place. So when I put the hot fire to it, it's not going to move out of shape. But when we have the hot fire of invitation to lust for sex and other things, where the jig? I don't have a jig. I said, God, wait, I don't have a jig. These people are burning hot. And the world is welding them and forming them. And for this job you gave me, I don't have a jig. I don't have vice grips. Because God doesn't want you to be held by vice grips. He gave you free will. You know, there are many people who wonder, how come I don't have God manifest in my life? How come I don't hear God? How come He doesn't reach me? Many of us say things like that, you know, when we are feeling sorry for ourselves. Yeah. We start to blame God. Well, you know, there are some people, I don't care how poor they are, I don't care how uneducated they are, some people just won't abandon moral sense. They keep their moral sense, and they do what they know is morally proper, or decent and intelligent, though they have not finished high school, though they have not finished grade school. And they won't steal, and they won't present them in a vulgar, indecent way in the public or any place. It's because they will not give up what they value more than money, what they value more than popularity, than being popular with the crowd, and that's their decent moral principles. Yes. So see, God, in making us, He knew that some of us would be weak, but He knew that some of us, a few of us, would be strong. And we survive every attempt of this world to destroy our original nature that God made for us. Yes? And we survive. And we will survive. And really, when I'm speaking to you, whether to a small audience of three or four persons, or to a big audience like we got now into the thousands, my interest is to strengthen your faith, as I mentioned before. Not to convert you from your religion, not to make a Muslim out of a Christian. No, because I've seen some Muslims who have been made Muslims and they were Christians before. And I wish nobody had bothered them because they were much better before than they are after. Some of them, not all. Yes. So I don't like to disturb people. No, God didn't come to tell us the way of the Christians has to be finished, done away with. No. Rather, He told us through Muhammad the Prophet's words that when all of this is finished, and we see the heavens or go to the heavens, say there's going to be big number of Christians, Jews, there are going to be Jews and a big number of Christians. And He said in His followers, but he gave us a little air. He said in His followers going to be the biggest number. The biggest number would be His followers. And they're saying now that Islam is the fastest growing religion. But also concerned Muslim scholars and teachers and just good people with good sense who are looking at what's happening, they say we should not be looking at big numbers. We should be looking out at the quality of Muslims. And really, that's a good note to say amen on. And for many, amen means shut up. Close out and go home. Let us go home. You know, I was in a church once. Yeah, I went to churches. I've been a Muslim by name all of my life. As you all know, those who know me, they know that I was born in 1933 in Detroit, Michigan, about a year or so after my mother and my father had accepted to be Muslims. Yes. So anyway, I was in the church once. I went to church to, if I'm going to preach, my father said I was going to help him in the leadership. That is, his teacher said I would help him in the leadership. So I said to myself once, I said, well, I should go and see what Christians believe and experience what they experience. So I will know when I speak to them. I said, I think it would be a little ignorant on my part to speak to an audience of people who were raised as Christians and not know what they believe. What makes up a Christian? What makes a person a Christian? So I went to churches. I went to Presbyterian church. I went to Catholic church. I went to Holiness church. I went to Baptist church. I went to a lot of churches. So anyway, one time I was in the church, and this preacher, he was preaching, but tell you the truth, I wasn't as comfortable with him as I was with some of the other church sessions I had been in. Because I'm telling you, some of them got some music now. It'll show hold you for a while, especially with that drama, that music and drama too. Oh, I'm telling you, I wasn't lost, but I was on the brink. So what of these preachers? What of these preachers look like he just couldn't get it together? He was faking his own excitement. it was obvious he was faking his own excitement. So a sister said, "Amen." And he just kept going. She said, "Amen." He just kept going. After a while, another sister gave him, "Amen, amen." Two of them said, "Amen." And I think he finally got the message. They meant close out. You should feel good. Yes. You should feel good because there's each day is another chance to make it better. So you all in our radio audience, you be strong, keep your faith, be strong, because the world of suffering humans need all of us to live and work hard. Peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum.
For more on the ministry of Imam W.D. Muhammad, call or write Ministry of W.D. Muhammad, 1708-798-6750. All right, Ministry of Imam W.D. Muhammad, Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributor. And thanks for listening.